Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday. And the league meetings down there in Phoenix, Arizona continue throughout the day. And several headlines, news items, quotes, what have you, from Ed Policy creeping out throughout the day there on the Twitter accounts of the intrepid reporters in attendance. Waiting to see if the Packers produce some kind of video content behind that. Haven't seen anything drop yet, and would like to hear any of Policy's comments straight from him. But in the meantime, the league has released their approved rule changes, bylaw additions, etc. And one very much concerns the Green Bay Packers pretty directly when it comes to some of their star players coming back from injury. We know there's a very good chance that Micah Parsons will start the season on the physically unable to perform list. There is a chance that Tucker Kraft and Devontae Wyatt join him in that regard, although nothing's official, nothing's set as far as when these guys will be available to start the season. But the league, in its bylaw approval released earlier today, made a pretty big shift. In the past, when you were put on PUP, now a number of years ago, it meant you had to miss six games, and now the last couple years, it has been four games, and that remains. You still, if you are on PUP, will have to miss the first four games of the regular season. However, in the past, you had to wait to practice throughout those four games before you allowed back on a practice field, opening up the 21-day window, which I know you guys are very familiar with. We've had to deal with that as far as Packers bringing people back throughout the last couple of years. You open up that 21-day window prior to activating them to the 53-man roster. Again, before, in the old version of the PUP, Micah Parsons would have had to wait all four games before he could even get on the practice field during the regular season to start up his ramp up to his return. The new bylaw indicates that the Packers and teams around the league only have to wait two games to open up that 21-day window. It doesn't guarantee anything, obviously, but it is a pretty significant shift for a guy and or guys, if it does end up including some other players, who would have had to wait at least a month, maybe a little longer, to even get back on the practice field. Now, a couple of weeks into the season, and they can return if they are able to do so. Medical people give the all go, etc. Again, it's not a huge change, not a monster consequence. However, it is somewhat significant. If you're looking at trying to get Micah Parsons and whoever else back on the field as soon as possible, this is not inconsiderable as far as the effect it could have, not just on, you know, Micah Parsons getting back onto the field, but the Packers season in general regarding some of these early games. Clearly want your best players involved as quickly as possible. Just something to watch for when we get to the summer, see what Micah looks like there in practice, most likely off to the side doing drill work, much like we saw with Christian Watson last summer. We all know he came back like gangbusters. Just an exciting development in a very boring kind of way as far as, oh, it's a bylaw approval by the league, etc. I can feel you going to sleep already, but that's not insignificant, being able to get him back on the practice field 2 weeks into the season, provided his, you know, rehab remains on course and that he remains in line to return as he has been talking since the injury happened. That's a very promising development. Very good stuff for Micah Parsons and the Packers. You love to see it. Like I said, we did get a bunch of headlines from Ed Policy over the course of the day. I did have a great talk with Bill Schmidt about that on the latest Carry the G Radio, just dropped about an hour ago here on the channel. I highly recommend you all check that out once we're done here. In the meantime, it's good to see everybody mixing it up in the comment section. Hello, Ralph is here. Tough Esox, what's going on, man? Guitar Ted is here. What's up, Guitar Ted? Good to see you all. Before I get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at thetacare.org/heart.
All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? Starting with E4. K-Town, what's going on, man? Glad the Bears/Packers rivalry is back. We'll be even more glad when we dominate them for the next 10 years. Yeah, if you are not online, you're probably not aware of how energized the rivalry is between the Packers fan base and the Bears fan base after, yes, many, many, many years of Packers domination. The Bears win a couple games, and now suddenly we all remember how their fans won the offseason every year. Well, now they've got actual games that their team won to point to. Whoo, baby. They are turning it up to 11 each and every day, which is great. Like you say, E4, that's great for the rivalry. It's nice to have stakes and a formidable foe for a change, because it has not been that way for so long. At least, what, a decade plus? Matt LaFleur started his career 10-0 against the Bears, for God's sake. 11-0, I think. So good to have some competition down there in Chicago. Finally. Finally. Been waiting on you guys. Paul, what's up, man? Can the NFL just give refs full time? Why is every aspect of the NFL officiating hard? I hear what you're saying, and I know that is one of the things they have been talking about with the referees union, as far as trying to bring them into the fold, so to speak, full time. Definitely talking about a pay raise, though it doesn't reportedly sound like it's close to what the officials are expecting. You know, we've got a ways to go. I talked about this a bit with Billy, but we've got a ways to go before this is a real concern. And I understand the league is putting the headlines out there as far as they're hiring officials to get ahead of this. They passed a rule today, a bylaw that allows New York to help officiate in the event that they are using replacement referees. So they're trying to get ahead of this in a way they didn't last time. I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. I think it might help massage things a little bit as far as the catastrophe on the field that was replacement refs the first time around. But I don't, you know, think anything's done and dusted at this point. We've got a ways to go before we get to a point where they're actually going to be putting replacement referees out on the field. So here's hoping they get to the point where both sides find some common ground and deadlines spur action, as Andrew Brandt is fond of saying. Oh, Guitar Ted, how are you, man? I saw some reporting to the effect that the Packers should get back with Davante Adams. I don't see it ever happening, but ... Yeah, I haven't seen reporting. I've seen a lot of wish fulfillment hope from Packers fans. I don't see the Packers going backwards. They moved on for a reason. They were ready to grow their own group, their own herd, as it were. And you just had this whole kind of dialogue with Matt LaFleur about people not being thrilled with their roles in 2025. You think dropping Davante Adams into the mix will make people happier? I don't know, especially in that room. And look, he's one of the best red zone weapons in the league at the moment. He certainly was last season for Matthew Stafford. I know the Rams admitted, said point blank this, you know, past couple days that they had engaged in talks about potentially trading him. But right now their plan is to keep him. I don't see the Packers making a move to bring Davante Adams back to Green Bay. I would be just short of shocked. Let's say that. Chuck, what's up, man? Why are baseball reviews so much faster than football reviews? Well, if you're talking about the strike stuff, the ABS, you know, that's pretty easily delineated with the digital technology, having that square there, and does the ball touch, and boom, we're on our way. Whereas with the NFL, you're, you know, utilizing lots of different kind of angles and trying to determine where the ball is on a plane that is invisible, though existent in our minds. You know, it's hard to get with any kind of certainty as far as where a guy's elbow was and in relation to the line to gain and the ball. Where was the ball touching the plane? Was it just short of the plane? Like, it's a little more going on in football than there would be in Major League Baseball. However, that said, I think we're on our way. You know, they started doing expedited reviews of first downs using chip technology last year, though it's not quite where they want it to be. I think they'll get there eventually here in the next few years. Larry, I am only highlighting this because you are asking it on Facebook. Why is there so much fake news in football? Are we signing a QB from the Patriots? Fake or not fake? Throwback bummer, Eric Dickerson. Okay, first of all, there's so much fake news in football, Larry, because you're on Facebook. I highly recommend getting off Facebook for your Facebook or for your football or really any news. Facebook is probably the most unreliable platform in existence, especially when it comes to NFL football. 99% of the stuff you see on Facebook, you can dismiss. Now, if it comes from a trusted source like Cheesehead TV, you can take it to the bank. But there are legitimately hundreds of AI-generated profiles on Facebook that are just there creating traffic, engagement, what have you. And every time one gets shut down, 10 or 20 more get created. I've talked to the Packers about this because I know when it first started, things like, you know, Matt LaFleur on The View or Clay Matthews coming back to coach, all of these things are complete nonsense and totally made up. But people on Facebook eat it up and there's tons of engagement and it's really profitable for the people running those pages. And the Packers have at times tried to reach out and talk to Meta about it, etc. But there are just so many of them. Again, most of them, the vast majority of them created by AI, that every time they get one shut down, 10, 20 more take its place. So Larry, I'm begging you, if you need football news, just stick to Cheesehead TV and or any other platform other than Facebook. Because I'm telling you, man, you are just lost in the wilderness relying on that platform. David says, the negativity about Matt LaFleur bugs me. Be careful what you ask for. You may just get it. It's going to be even harder this year losing Gary, Walker times two, Jenkins, and several other folks. I think Matt will step up. Wow, look at this lone voice in the wilderness. David, I very much agree with you, man. I think Matt is a very good coach. I think people probably don't appreciate what he's done for the franchise, the program, what have you. I do understand the frustrations. God knows I have my own with Matt, but I do think overall he's a really good football coach. And to quote what Ed Policy talked about, one of the quotes attributed to him from the Beat earlier today was, the best coaches in the league have been and are teachers, good to great teachers. And when it comes to just look at the game's most important position at quarterback, he got the best out of Aaron Rodgers, developed Jordan Love into a top-flight quarterback, and did incredible work with Malik Willis on a very short timetable. I mean, that is a pretty good track record at the game's most important position. Now, again, is he infallible? Is he perfect? Is he beyond reproach or critique? No, of course not. But I'm with you, David. People just do not appreciate it the way they should. And I think some of that is the internet and the way we now consume everything 24/7. And look, I can't really begrudge it because it allows Cheesehead TV to exist. It helps pay my rent. You know, I'll be in the throes of mid-June when there's absolutely nothing going on. There's still an audience because people are completely obsessed and rabid for information about the Packers or just conversation about the team. But because of that, it's a constant drum of often negative comments, negativity in general, especially towards a coach who has not delivered over the course of the last three seasons in particular, where they had teams that could have and should have competed for a championship. You know, that's not telling tales out of school. So, again, the frustration is understandable, but I'm with you, man. I think people go overboard, and I think they don't appreciate what they have. What else we got here, folks? Jerry, what's up, man? Threaten them with the NBA refs as replacements, and they'll get a deal done in a hurry. Perhaps, probably not, but maybe, perhaps. Andrew, what's going on, man? But Facebook keeps telling me it's all bad on zero. Ha 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 ha. It's always bad, all the time. 1,000,000,000%. Kevin, yes, it is called Title Town. And one of the best ways to go win a title is to keep continuity, especially on the offensive side of the ball, with a coach that has proven and had a really good track record. I mean, I understand the grass is always greener when you're upset and frustrated at a loss or a string of losses in the postseason, etc. But I understand why Policy stuck with Matt LaFleur. I absolutely do. Joe, how are you, man? Is Matt LaFleur a better practice slash development coach than he is a game day coach? I think it depends on the game, and I think it depends on the opponent. I think there are some guys slash schemes in the league that give him trouble, but I think that's pretty normal for most coaches, not all coaches, but I think there are always going to be teams and schemes that give you kind of issues or fits or are tougher nuts to crack, so to speak, for particular schemes that you yourself employ, etc. But I do think Matt's a pretty damn good game day coach as well as coach Monday through Saturday. But certainly, like I said, he's had some rough moments. No doubt about it. Yeah, I'm sure he cannot wait to get back out on the field in week one and get that taste out of his mouth regarding the last quarter in particular, but the second half overall of that playoff game. Because that was pretty, pretty bad coaching all around. New York Cheesehead, what's up, man? If you lived through the 70s and 80s as a Packers fan, you know how to appreciate what we have. I hear you, man, but there's a fine line there, right? And obviously, I'm one of those people, right? I certainly lived through the 70s and 80s. It has informed how I do appreciate what we have as Packers fans, and I do get frustrated sometimes with the negativity around the coach or the team or what have you. But all of that said, as the poster put before, it is called Titletown. The expectation is to win championships, and that is a good thing. That's the mentality you want from your fan base as well as the people in the building. Where I get maybe miffed a little bit is when that fan base starts talking about, oh, they don't care. Oh, the people in the building don't care. They just want to make the money and go to bed happy on their pile of cash, which is unbelievably ridiculous. Like, talk to anyone in that building, whether they're on the football side or the business side, in any capacity. All anyone in that building wants to do is win a championship. And that's all they're trying to do. I get they haven't brought it home as much as we would like, but the fact that I, Aaron Nagler, the 52 years old, have seen the Packers win two championships in my lifetime, if you told me that as a 18-year-old, I would have said, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. You know, that that's enables me to appreciate it. But when you have a pretty large now subsection of the fan base, and that continues to grow, that has only known Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love, and seen these teams win a bunch but not be able to close the deal, again, I understand that frustration. I mean, I don't, you know, say it's time to fire everybody willy-nilly, but I get why people do. I don't join them in that chorus, but I understand why they sing it. Rob says, just win a home playoff game. Hell, just have a home playoff game. You realize if Romeo Doubs drops on that fucking onside kick in Chicago last year, they host a playoff game. That was the razor-thin margin right there. Just host a playoff game, especially this year. You got 9 home games for the regular season. Let's get a 10th. Hell, let's get an 11th game at Lambeau Field this year. It's time to get back to winning the division. Enough of this 7th seed nonsense. That is 1,000,000,000% what time it is. If the 82 Packers had a defense, Rick, you are not wrong, man. God, that was a fun team. You should come hang out with us on Happy Hour. Soder and I talk about that stuff all the time. So good. Jerry, what's up? Matt LaFleur is either a middle school PE teacher or a football coach. There is no in-between. That's a bold proclamation there, buddy. I think he's a bit more than a middle school PE teacher, but that's just me. Guitar Ted, yes, 1,000,000,000%. I'd like to see a double-digit figure in the win column. The rest will figure itself out after that happens. I think that's certainly an idea. Certainly the goal, not just to win double-digit games, but to win the division. It is time. It has been way too long. And they were on their way last year until everybody got hurt, but no one cares. They don't want to talk about excuses, even though they're sometimes reality. It's absolutely time, without question. Braden, don't mention onside kicks at all. We're cursed. Feels like it after that game, after that flub in Chicago, no question about it. Oh, speaking of onside kicks, that was one of the rule changes that was approved by the league today. You no longer need to wait for the fourth quarter. You just have to give a heads up that you're going to attempt an onside kick at any point in the game. You know, I'm all for player safety, and I understand why they've made the changes they have to the kickoff, but man, I miss surprise onsides. That was one of the best plays in the league, man. Those were my favorite plays in football. And now it's completely out the window. But now you can onside kick, say, in the first quarter if you want to. So watch out for these crazy coaches. Abdul, how are you, man? Hey, Aaron, sorry if you already talked about this, but who do you think were the malcontents last year? I think there were probably a few, more than a couple. I won't belabor it here, but I will encourage you to go listen to Carry the G Radio, because Billy and I talked a little bit about it. I think there's some obvious candidates, whether you're talking about Matthew Golden, since he did light up training camp and then basically was relegated to running clear out routes all year. Or you can talk about some of the guys who have left. Elton Jenkins feels like an obvious candidate, as does Rashawn Gary, who, you know, 2 weeks before the season had the C on his chest and was the leader in that room. And then they traded for Micah Parsons and all of that changed. I think, yeah, there are a number of candidates, but we'll never probably really know. And I think guessing about it is fun, but pretty unproductive. But again, make sure you check out my conversation with Billy, because he did have some great things to say. He had some really, actually really good observations about it. Oh, Christopher, this is an excellent question. Talk about a monster what if. If the old power structure was in place, do you think Brian would have fired Matt at the end of the year? Woo, baby. Well, I'll tell you what, Brian's coming on Packer transplants to wrap up the offseason like he has the last 2 years, and maybe that's a question we'll have to ask him. I don't think he'll ever admit that he would. Of course, he'll never say that out loud, but I'd have to say he'd maybe think about it a little bit more than Ed Policy did, but probably ultimately would have stuck with him, would be my guess. But that's all it is a guess. One of the things Policy did talk about and admitted to was he had already decided to bring back Matt LaFleur prior to the Bears game, and that Matt was in no way, shape, or form coaching for his job that day in Chicago, that evening in Chicago, which tracks with how the Packers traditionally operate. You know, not having had any kind of precedent to judge Policy on, it did make sense to kind of wonder what route he would go, but that is the route that makes the most sense if you followed the Packers over the course of the last 30, 40 years. So not a surprise in that regard. Rob, what's up? Made it at the end. You did indeed. Make sure you join us for happy hour at the top of the hour on the Patreon page, Cheesehead TV. We got the YouTube here. If you're a Carry the G Club member, information is on that respective page. And hey, before I go, I would be remiss not to remind everybody that this Thursday, speaking of Patreon, make sure you have your Patreon account ready to go. You don't need to be a paying member, but you will need a Patreon account to purchase the Cheesehead TV draft guide, which drops this Thursday. That's right. Big, beautiful, chock full of great draft content. Our guy Jersey Al and the crew have been hard at work for the last month plus putting this thing together. It is outstanding. I always say it each and every year. It is the greatest piece of content the Cheesehead TV produces each and every season, mostly because I am not involved. It is outstanding work by everyone. Make sure you get your copy of the Cheesehead TV draft guide this Thursday on the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. All right, everybody, I got to go. I'll see you at happy hour. Thanks so much. Hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.